Tonight our testimony is, without any reservation, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy tonight. And so tonight, contrary to what my wife believes and tells me about four or five times a day, that I'm the most blessed, spiritual, godly, handsome man that ever lived. Contrary to that, honey, it's okay, continue. But I'm just a man. But I have a great God. And tonight, as we look at these verses, I would trust maybe like no other time in my life, in my ministry, may we see Him who alone is worthy. May we look to Him, because in me dwelleth no good thing, but in Him I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm trusting just for the next few moments that we could look at Him. We could see Him, who He really is, what He's really done, and what He plans to do with our lives if we will allow Him and step into His sovereign plan for our lives. Because tonight we don't know. You don't know tonight what tomorrow might bring. Never in a billion years could I have imagined that death, destruction, and devastation of the place where I've served for 36 years. Never could I imagine. Even now, I can't imagine. I told my wife, I can't wait till my eyes can see, and then I'm not sure I can imagine what's taking place. So tonight, as we look at these verses, may we look to Him. He alone is worthy tonight. Job, a very unique man in the Bible, and at first I was using my situation and our people's situation as a comparison to Job, and then some dear brother has the sarcasm of the church here, amen? not bad, good, amen? Come on, now smile. The fun, the family orientation of Beacon Baptist Church and your pastor. He came after me, and he came after the service, and he said, "Well, I guess your wife has told you to curse God and die." And I said, "No, so this is not a perfect example, amen? She hasn't said anything. In fact, we've shed no tears over the things, the stuff. Not even one time have we even thought about tears over stuff. Because, brethren, tonight, life's not about stuff. Life is about investing in others and serving Jesus Christ and bringing Him glory. And tonight, just before I begin, I want to thank the Lord personally. I won't put a card in the basin, but I want to thank Him for honoring me with the privilege of trial. I want to thank Him that His grace is more than sufficient. His grace has never allowed us even to doubt for a moment that God is still in control. And He's counted me worthy. I believe like Job. I believe that Satan perhaps entered the throne, as he does 24/7, about you and about me. And I believe he probably said, "You know, those people down there, they're on a roll. They're reaching the world with the gospel. They're baptizing people and training people. And missionaries are being sent out, and God is blessing and building a work there. And if I take everything they have, they'll curse you." Probably the Lord may have said, I don't know. He said, "You know, that you can take everything, but you can't take their lives." And tonight I stand before you, and I'm not challenging Satan. I don't want to do that, even attempt to do that. But I have good news for you as partners in the gospel. Not one has cursed God. Not one has complained. Not one has said one negative word. In fact, I keep posting, if you're not on Facebook, you ought to be. It's God's will. It's a good place to hear the testimonies of people that you know don't even go to church asking for prayer for others. Amen. That's enough. But it's a good place to follow the ministry anyway. But anyway, every person, I keep posting testimony after testimony after testimony of God's people there in Leyte and now around the world. As I speak to you tonight, and we'll read this verse again and then go on. One of our missionaries, Brother Joel Basilin, he preached here in this church. He's in Taiwan, near Taipei. He's there in the Philippines with funds they've raised in Taiwan to help rebuild some of the houses and put roofs back on our people's homes. Brother Arnold Espino, missionary to Saigon, Vietnam, and Lito Davi, Saigon, Vietnam, they're there, and they've filled up vans and trucks with supplies and roofing materials and headed into Tacloban and Leyte. In fact, at this very hour, there's a relief fund and another relief fund and another fund and another fund. But this very moment, we haven't touched any U.S. money. And everything has been provided by your ministry in the Philippines and now around the world. You talk about a man who's blessed. I'm blessed. So don't spend much time crying about me, but spend time praying, because we want to get back to the place God has called us. So in this story, I was reading this, of course. I guess this would be an easy place to go after such a thing has happened. And old Job was already ready for the problem. Many people have asked, well, did they have any preparation? Was there any warning? Well, yeah, there was warning. And tonight, for years, your pastor has stood here, and the nice little sermonette he had this morning, amen? That was pretty good, amen? I'm going to take that, put some meat on it, and preach it again, amen? I couldn't leave Beacon Baptist Church without at least one thing going that direction after he called my Buckeyes the Buccaneers, my gracious. But... now I don't even know what I was about to say. But oh my, this man, he was about to be tested. And tonight, your pastor has warned you, and I've been warned ever since I was saved. There could be a day when we need to have really trusted God. You need to be prepared, because once the incident happens, it's already too late. And so tonight, maybe if we're not prepared, maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe you're here and you're not sure you have salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and really your life is about stuff. Well, believe me tonight, it's true that that stuff can disappear in a heartbeat. When I first got in contact with Tacloban, I had a legal pad there to write down the things that were salvaged from my home. That was stupid. It got down to a post-it. And once I found out, by 3 or 4 days, the salt and acidic water that flooded our home, I had to tear half of the post-it in two, because already those things were rusted and destroyed. And so now my sister-in-law, Lel, and others have gotten me familiar with the word, gone. You know the song, The Little Children, G-O-N-E, gone. It's not my sins, it's my things, amen. And so the devil said to the Lord, you know, if I just take everything he has, he'll curse you. But Job already had it settled long before this event. He had it settled, the real important things of life. And for 46 years, I've tried to convey how important it is. And tonight, that important thing is the Lord. The Lord. In this verse alone, verse 21, three times Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so tonight, for the next few moments, let's look at the Lord. I can't think of a better subject. Number one, the Lord, who He is. Oh, as your pastor this morning so aptly preached, He isn't an emotional, stirring person who gives you just everything you want, make you feel good. He is God, and beside Him there is none other. In 2013, He still is the Holy One. And He requires us to be ye holy as I am holy. He still is to make us the separated ones from this world. It is so sad as I visit church after church that once stood, now has fallen. You go in there and I really go out feeling like I need a spiritual bath. I would have done well to go back to the bar stool and sit where I used to drink and smoke and carry on in my life. It would have been better to go there, because that should be expected there. But now it's in the church, because there's no more holiness. But tonight, the Lord, who He is, letter A, He is the loving one. God so loved the world. And now I want to go farther than that, because we think about that, that's salvation. He loved us. But oh, tonight, after salvation, He loves us when we find out we have cancer. He loves us when we lose all we have. He loves us when our husband, we've been married to for 40 or 50 or 60 years, He still loves us tonight. He's the loving one. Oh, it's not when everything goes the way we want it to go, the way we think it should go, the direction that we think it should go. He is the loving one tonight. He's the Lord. And Job knew that. Whatever comes my way, He's the loving one. Take it away, give it. He's the loving one tonight. Look at Him tonight. Don't look at me. Don't look at the church. Look to the Lord and who He is. He's the loving one. And along with love, there is something missing. The pastor mentioned it this morning. Letter B, He's the giving one. We know in that same familiar verse, you don't have to be a Chicago theological doctor to understand this. God so loved the world, then He gave His only begotten Son. He's the giving one. Oh, He went farther than just getting rid of all of His things and all of His possessions. By the way, He never had any. He didn't have the therapeutic pillow, the number bed. Amen? He slept on the rocks. He slept in borrowed places in the desert. He didn't ever have extra baggage on His flight. He had no baggage. And He is our example tonight. He's the giving one. He went so far not to give up just things. He gave up His life. He bore our sins. So tonight, the Lord, who He is, Job knew, He's the loving one. He's the giving one. Oh my. And as I just mentioned, He's the dying one. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended His love toward us. Then that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the ultimate price for you and I tonight. And if we can fix ourselves on the Lord, He's the loving one. He's the giving one. He's the dying one. My, how could we complain about anything that comes our way tonight? Job saw Him as the Lord tonight. Would you look at Him if you've never looked at Him before? And if you have looked at Him, continue to look at Him. Continue to follow Him, because He's the Lord. He's the loving one. He's the giving one. He's the dying one. And why, praise God, this could make anybody shout. This could make the frog. Was that the frog Christian you had with the bulging eyes? In my 47 years of preaching, I've preached to several of those. What you need is a frog gig for you country people. If you don't know what that is, that's how you kill a frog. Now, I don't want to kill any Christians, but a good frog leg would be good. But boy, the Lord not only is the loving one and the giving one tonight, look at Him, He's the dying one, but He's the conquering one. They came to His grave, and it was said in Matthew 28 and verse 6, He's not here, for He has risen, as He said. Come and see the place where He lay. And so even if you lose your life, if you lose the life of a loved one, oh my, because He's the conquering one, you can go to the gravesite. You don't have to weep and be sad as others in the world. Oh, you can shed tears. I already have it set up in our church, that in our wake, and I'm planning to be buried at Camp Victory when we start a cemetery there. I don't plan to come back here and be buried and spend $10,000 when I can just spend 10 cents. Amen. I've got Bible college students that can dig a hole 2 feet deep. I've already measured myself. Forget that 6 feet. But oh my, I've already told our people now, I want you to go by the first night of the wake, because we have several nights of wake celebration and testimonies and things. And that first night, I want every one of you to spend 10 minutes over my casket weeping. Just 10 minutes. Now, the next night you can play checkers and Scrabble and have snacks and rejoice in the Lord. But that first night, I want to see plenty of tears if I get to peek out of that box. But when you get to my gravesite, I want you to know that He is the conquering one. As He conquered, I conquered death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, my, I don't need to sorrow as those who have no hope. We have victory tonight in Jesus Christ. Is it really true that absent from the body is present with the Lord? Now, how bad could that be for the person who dies? How bad could that be? Are you not guilty as I am guilty? We're fearing that which is the best thing that will ever happen to us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, tonight, be like Job. Anyway, take my life, take my possessions, kill my children, take my property, ruin my cattle. But oh my, the Lord who He is, He's the conquering one. And of course, because He's the conquering one, He's the saving one. If you're here tonight and you don't know heaven is your home, He could save you tonight. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Tonight you could trust Him. His arms of grace are wide open to you. Do you know Him tonight? Have you trusted Him? He's the loving one. He's the giving one. He's the dying one. He's the conquering one. He's the saving one. Letter F, He is the sustaining one. Do we understand tonight? Do we really? I'm talking about me. It's a word called naktanan. It means all. In our dialect, it's naktanan, all. Do we all understand tonight? It is He who sustains everything. He is the sustaining one. He is the sovereign one. He is the controlling one. Nothing can happen in this universe without either Him causing it or allowing it to take place. Because He is the governing one tonight. He is the sustaining one. And when the lights go out and all the things are gone, it's time to shine in darkness. It isn't something extra super spectacular for an individual to do that. Individuals have been doing that since the martyrs. They sang in the fire. They sang as they boiled their children in oil. Oh, it's nothing new today. It's not spectacular. It's not overwhelming to understand that, because the Lord and who He is allows us to shine in darkness. When there's plenty of light, you can't shine. When there's plenty of food in the refrigerator, it's hard to shine, is it not? You have the same problem as me. When the wallet's full, it's not hard to shine. And by the way, tonight you can rob me. Tonight mine's full. Amen. Because of your partnership, I've already been to Sears and visited some Craftsman tools. Amen. They're out there in the van if you want some new tools. And if you come to visit me in about 1 year, there ain't nothing in my house going to be old, because it's G-O-N-E gone. Somebody was asking my wife, I was ranting and raving like normal, and telling about how good God is, and the ladies out there thinking, well, he believes that, but I'll bet his wife's all tore up. And so good friends of ours all gathered around my wife after this service. Well, Jenny, how do you really feel? And she says, well, for 2 years, we've been thinking about downsizing. If you've been married 47 years, going on 47 years, you've got a whole lot of stuff. And where do you start? I've gone out into this little storage room, and I've looked, and I said, where would I start? If we go down to like a two-little-bedroom bungalow, that's all we need. What am I going to do with all this stuff? G-O-N-E, gone! The Lord did it for me. I don't have to go through anything. I can put it in a suitcase. You say, well, you're making fun of something so serious. No, this is a reality. I'm not serving things or stuff or storage room. I'm serving the Lord and who He is. He's the conquering one. He's the sustaining one. He knew whether that storm would come to Tacloban. He knew the area it would hit. He knew the destruction long before the worlds began. And what he said is, I'm going to give you the honor, Brother Wynn, and Grace Baptist Church and Grace Baptist Mission and Dulog Baptist Mission and San Roque Baptist Mission and Bagakai Baptist Mission and Haro Baptist Mission and MacArthur Baptist Church. Oh, I'm going to give you a chance to shine in darkness because I want you to tell the world who I am. I'm the Lord who is tonight. Oh, my soul, that's good even if I said it. Not only that, this point will be finished. He's the coming one. He's the coming one. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. He's coming. Will he find us shining? Will he find, like your pastor tried, he did such a good job of presenting us today, oh my, the Lord's coming for his church. That church should be raised up incorruptible. That church should be found holy when he comes. And the only way it's ever going to be like that is when we realize the Lord and who he is. Number two, the Lord and what he does. Real simple. He giveth and he taketh away. Should I question him? Tonight your parents perhaps love you. If you're a father here tonight, perhaps you love your children with all your soul and with all your heart. You'd give your life for them. If you're married and you have a good relationship in your home, you love your wife or your husband. But no man has ever known love like Jesus Christ. What he does, he gives and he takes away. And believe me tonight, trust the word of God. And for those of many of you who already do, I'm not preaching to convicts, amen? Sometimes people think, boy, he's angry at us. No, I'm happy with you, amen? You're our partners. I want us to go away from this place, closer to him, holding him up. He's worthy of being held up. He's the Lord, and what he does is always right. Who would I be to question him? Who would I be to sit around and say, why did you take away 36 years? In just 4 days, I would be landing in the place that God has called me. I was so excited, I couldn't stand it. Everything was going wonderfully. Even since I've been gone, offerings have been up. Missions has been up. People have been saved and baptized. And new works are being started. And people are coming closer to God. Oh, my soul, how excited I was to get back to that place God has called me to represent you. And the Lord decided to take away. The first 3 days, I actually believed he had taken my son and my daughter-in-law, my three grandchildren. My wife and I stood and talked and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I told my wife, I said, God's been good to me. What more could a man ask for than his son be called to salvation, called to preach? And then in all of the places he could have gone, he came to work right at my side. I'm blessed. And many years ago, God, by his grace, have no reason, I have no rhyme of why, but he honored me with grace and salvation. And before this ever happened, I knew the Lord and who he was and who he is. And I knew the Lord and what he does. He takes away, he giveth and he taketh away. And I told my wife, we have been blessed. If we hear they've been swept away, we've been blessed. Sorry, devil, I have no curse for God, because many years ago, 48 years just about, God through his grace, through the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, let me see the Lord and what he does. He gives and he takes away and he maketh no mistakes. Am I superhuman? No. I've just seen him. I know who he is. He's worthy. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The reason why we know that when He gives and takes away, that everything He gives is good. This storm is good. It's good. My son's under all kinds of pressure. Not a young man in his 40s, but I know deep in his heart he's loving it, because it's time to shine in darkness. It's time to shine. We've been given that opportunity tonight. If you're facing cancer, disease, heartache in your home, it's time to shine because of who He is. He's the Lord. And what He does, He giveth and He taketh away. And could you agree with me as we go on? If it's the Lord who gives and the Lord who takes away, don't you think it's best? Oh, son, slap their hand. By the way, that's okay. Just don't take that to the news. Spank their bottom. Daddy, daddy. Well, son, I did it because I love you. I don't want you to run in the street and be killed. I took away your toy so you could learn a lesson, so your character could be built for the future, so God could bless you and use you and send you out into a service. I did it because I love you. Now, if you and I would do that, what about the Lord? During my parenting experience, I made some mistakes. I spanked when I shouldn't have spanked, because I spanked the wrong one, because my son's sister hoodwinked him into getting in trouble. And vice versa. Later I had to take him aside and apologize. But tonight, this is kind of simple and practical, but buddy, it works. I want you to know tonight, the Lord and what He does, He gives and He takes away, and He never makes a mistake. Don't spend the rest of our lives saying, well, if I'd have just had my heart attack near Duke University Medical Center, I'd have been alive. Boy, come on. It's the Lord who's in control. Oh, if I'd have just saw the signs, you'd have ignored them and still eat that fat back and pork and that cholesterol-filled mess. Amen? Come on, give Him glory tonight. I'm going to quit in just a moment. Don't be foolish. Oh, if I'd have just known sooner, if I'd have just did this and just done that. You know what that centers on? It centers on us, and that's bound for failure, because in man dwelleth no good thing. But in the Lord, He gives and He takes away, and He makes no mistakes tonight. Now that's good preaching. That's hard practicing. But it can be done. Because blessed be the name of the Lord. Not only what the Lord and who He is, the Lord and what He does, He gives and He takes away. But the Lord and why He does it. Reporter for Channel 14 or some ridiculous TV channel. By the way, when I really get famous one day, it's always going to be a live interview, because those cotton pickers won't put one word about God or the Scriptures on television. I sat for 42 minutes and told this man, I told my wife before he gets here, you go in the other room, because I know you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be on over there going. Because when that dude gets in here and they turn on that camera, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about the Lord. I'm not going to be like the modern prosperity gospel person when they're asked, what would you tell the world? And they just grin and put their curly hair back and go, everything's going to be okay, amen. If you're a Mormon or a gay or a lesbian, everything's going to be just okay because God loves you. This old boy ain't going to do that. After the first word go, he's going to tell them what about Jesus Christ, quote verses, and for 42 minutes, I poured it on. Man, I was so excited. I had forgot where I was. I actually thought I was still in the Philippines, where we have freedom of religion. They'll put it on there about the Lord. We're not ashamed of the Lord. Even in a Roman Catholic church or a Roman Catholic nation, we're not ashamed of carrying a Bible, wishing Merry Christmas. We still actually have that privilege there, but I forgot where I was. And for 42 minutes, I told him, he said, you're smiling in the midst of devastation. And I said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Well, why would the Lord allow this? I said, Before today, if I said Tacloban, you would think that's a Mexican pizza in a German restaurant. Look me in the eye, son. Would you even know my name? Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know my name now. I said, and if I had a brown, dark-complected young man or young lady from my church with beautiful white teeth and the greatest smile you ever saw in the world, they'd be smiling too, and they've got nothing. Why? Because blessed be the name of the Lord. And that night I turned on my TV, and I'll have to say this because I have a few moments. Have you ever seen anything on TV where the cameraman cuts half your stinking head off? My chance for the big time. And they cut my head off. No kidding, the camera was right down between my eyes. I looked like I'd been in an accident. And in that interview, the name of the Lord was never mentioned. It was given for a sympathetic presentation, and it wasn't an interview. It was a display of what that reporter wanted to get somebody to watch that next news. What a world we live in. But tonight, and he said this, why do you think he did it? That's simple, so we can bring him glory. Tonight, if you're in a hopeless situation, and tonight, in this room as I close, there are people, you're facing a burden greater than I'm facing. Some of you have health issues, life and death. You have loved ones who are about to go to be with the Lord. You have burdens, tribulations. It's time to bring him glory. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. And all the seed of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him. And all the seed of Israel. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. And man, I have talked to so many people in the last month that I never knew existed on the face of the earth. I've received phone calls from around the world. About 5 days after this event, I sat down in the mall while my wife was in a store. I hear this guy talking in a dialect. It's my dialect, warai warai. In the middle of a mall, my hair on my arm stood up. No, it didn't stand up on my head. Before some of you people go after me about that. I can't stand it. This guy is talking, and he's talking about Tacloban. And I'm thinking, man, if you don't get off that phone, I'm going to interrupt this conversation. And my wife finally came, and I said, sir, excuse me. Would you put up the phone just a second? I live right where you're talking about. And his arms just popped up. He goes, Auntie, there's an Americano here. He lives in Tacloban. People have called me from New Jersey, the Netherlands, around the world, Australia. And my, when they call, I can tell them, blessed be the name of the Lord, and bring him glory. An opportunity I would have never had. My, when was the last time you gave us an offering of $18,500? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I forgot to tell you, and I'll close. Those ladies that were talking to my wife, she said, we've downsized. And she drew them down where we were close to the ear. And she said, can you imagine the fun I'm going to have shopping? Now, if that offends you, it's too bad. That's just real life. After 47 years of marriage, you come and visit me, there's not going to be one old thing in my house except me. Tonight, the Lord, who he is, oh my, he's everything. That song we sing, he's everything to me, I hope tonight he is. Because when the storm comes, I want to remind you, because many of you have been in the storm, he's gracious. He's good, and it's time to shine in darkness. From day one, the first pictures I finally got, bodies and devastation, even now. I'm not trying to be gross. There's bodies piled up under rubble after 1 month. Areas you cannot go in from the burning in your eyes and the horribleness. From day one, because of His grace and who He is, the Lord, I knew He gave and He giveth and He takes away. And I knew from day one, the work, our work, you and I's work, would rise again. It's time to shine in darkness. And on behalf of thousands of people, my people, your people, are shining. Blessed be that name of the Lord. I would recommend Him tonight, if you're lost, that you'd trust Him. I'd recommend those of you who are saved, keep trusting Him. The valleys will come, but blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives us better than we ever deserve if He takes it all and keeps it. Because blessed be the name of the Lord. Trust Him tonight. He's trustworthy. And I want to say this. Your partnership with us is not why we continue in the ministry, but it's sure a help. Your friendship, your love, for many, many years as partners in the gospel, thank you. It's not in vain. The light is shining in darkness, not because of the missionary, but because of the Lord. Trust Him tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy. God bless you, folks. We love you. Thank you so much.
Our Father in heaven, what a blessing tonight. Thank you for the message that you laid on our brother's heart, and thank you for anointing him afresh for it and speaking to all of us here. And I ask, God, that indeed we will be reminded of it every time we hear and the next time we hear of someone in our fellowship who is sick, someone who has passed glory, someone who's had a heartache, a burden, a misfortune. Will be reminded, God, of the message tonight and the truth of it. And that we'll be able to sing and to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, that even lost people will wonder what's different about that person. I pray for the winds, Father. You'll continue to meet their needs as you have. Help us to be a means to that end. I pray you'll give Brother Wynn wisdom. You said that if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And he needs wisdom, Father, to know about some decisions that lie ahead, some things he doesn't even know yet. I pray you'll grant him your divine wisdom and then grace to carry through with the choices and decisions he and Brother John have to make. Protect Brother John. And Christy, Father, be with them. Thank you for your goodness to us and your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. I have a question. You're glad you're saved? Amen. Greet our visitors. Greet the winds if you have a chance. They're leaving soon. So God bless you all. You're dismissed.